Well, thank you for turning on to the Ralphie Thoughts. I thank you for the opportunity, as we call it, Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. But a lot of times, you know, it's just thoughts from old Ralphie. But, you know, I have, like most people, have recognized my salvation. And this is when it comes into encourage one another. As you heard me say many times, we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another in the faith. And last week, we had homecoming at church, and it was a wonderful time. But, you know, I always look forward to homecoming, but I often wonder why people are not coming back to church since COVID-19. And I don't know. They have their own reasons. But we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another. And where is the best place to go to encourage one another? Unless you see your family every day and different things and encourage them. But where can we encourage one another in the faith? And that's at church. And I've been thinking. I've been thinking about salvation. And I'm grateful for my own personal salvation. But I always want to share that promised hope, that blessed hope that we have in Christ. Judy and I just came back from a death, burial, and resurrection service for my first wife, the mother of my children, in Pennsylvania. And it was a good time of celebration of her life. Because even though we got divorced and we had this and this in life, one thing we shared was our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She came back to the Lord also later in her life like I did. And whenever we get together, we don't think about the divorce and the this and the that. We share our faith with each other. And it just gives you that peace that passes all understanding. So where does that come from? It comes from the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about that in our scripture text today, how persistent we need to be in prayer. But I want to just give you a theme and a scene, because I talked about in my message about first responders, and of course all the first responders here on this earth are great people. We love them and we need them desperately, but the great first responder is Jesus. So think about this. The scene's played out. And it's played out many times in many ways and all year long, or all of our life, we could think about these. There's a man dramatically rescued from a swollen river. A child is pulled by firefighters from a burning apartment, a building. A woman is delivered from a would-be assassin by a brave bystander. You know, all of these scenarios include situations of impending peril or destruction, a rescue, or a deliverer who intervenes in a second chance at life. One is saved. Although the word is rarely used in the media today, each is a picture of salvation. Think about that. The Bible teaches that sin threatens us with broken relationships, spiritual death, and judgment, but God, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, has provided a way to rescue us from sin's consequences. You know, there's consequences to everything we do in life, both good and bad, but Jesus rescues from the sin consequences. Hallelujah. Because he offers us salvation so that we can have a second chance in life, an opportunity to experience a spiritual rebirth into a new and abundant life of the Spirit, and ultimately the blessed hope that my first wife Midge had, eternal life, and to be with God forever. Just some thoughts and promises. Look in the scriptures. God forgives all sin. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. God wants to save wicked people too. Ezekiel 18:21. Boy, oh boy, I'm glad about that, because this old wicked one is saved now. Many people will come to know God in the end times. Zechariah 2 verses 11 through 12. Believing in Jesus as Lord brings eternal life. John 3:16, and Acts 16:31, and Romans 10:9. If you choose this and you choose him, nothing can keep that from happening. You will have eternal life. Trust and obey, as the hymn says, and no other way. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Well, we are in what they call the Messianic Age. Messianic means Savior, Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and we certainly are in the Messianic Age, even though a lot of the people way back when in Israel and all through scriptures didn't recognize him. Now, Israel's been reestablished as a country after many, 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 many years. And you think about Israel, a lot of times we say, oh, Israel, well, that's a religious country. No, it's not. And I want you to think about that, because Israel, like America, is not a religious country. They have all kinds of different people. They have more Palestinians in Israel than in the Gaza Strip. And you don't think about that much, but Israel welcomes all. And it is not a religious country. Wish it would be. But modern day Israel is a very pagan country, with probably about 80% or more of the people there being atheists or even agnostics. Oh, come on, preacher. Yeah, they're a very secular people. But, and there's always a but, I love the buts, 15% of the population is Orthodox Jews. You know, we often refer to them as the Black Hats. You see them on television. You'll see them praying at the Western Wall. But these are the Orthodox Jews. And the signs among them are overwhelming, because they are expecting the Lord to return at any moment. And we as Christians should have that same hope. But the fact has been largely overlooked by people who talk about the signs of the times. World without end. Amen. Amen. You see, we sing that every Sunday because the world's not going to end. And you say, okay, well, why you say that? They keep saying, well, nuclear war. Well, because Jesus created the world. He created the heavens and the earth. And he's got to have a place to return to when he comes back. Think about it. The world's never going to end. The end of the age, and I say the end of the age, meaning the end of the age of grace. That's what we hang on to. But it all began in 1967 during the Six-Day War, when the Jews at least occupied, and really reoccupied, if you would, the old city of Jerusalem on the last day of the war. So June the 6th, 1967. That date is important as May the 14th, 1948, when Israel was declared a state again. On that day, they reoccupied the city for the first time, get this, 1,897 years. Wow, what a homecoming that is. As soldiers rushed to the Western Wall, they began to weep and pray. Also arriving at the Western Wall was the chief rabbi of the Israeli army, and he came up to that wall. His name was Rabbi Shlomo Gorin, who later became the chief rabbi of Israel. And he walked up to the wall, and he had the Torah scroll under his arm, and he had a shofar on the other hand. He blew the shofar, and everybody got quiet. And then he raised his right hand, and he made this statement, and I quote, "I proclaim to you the beginning of the Messianic Age." So now, think about it. Why did he say that? Why did he say that it was the beginning of the Messianic Age? Because he knew his Hebrew Bible, and he knew the prophecies. He knew that the prophecies say that when the Jews are back in the land, 1948, and when they're back into their capital city, 1967, the Messiah will come. Wow. So I always say, if you're wondering about things that are going on in the Middle East, and you're wondering about some of our religious things, for lack of a better term, and you want to know what's happening in the world and how soon Jesus would return. Jesus said, learn the parable of the fig tree. Watch Jerusalem. Watch Jerusalem, because that will give you the key when things are about to happen. But in the meantime, we need to pray. We need to encourage one another. And that's what we need to do, and that's what I've been thinking about, because, boy, we all need hope. We need the precious hope of Jesus Christ, and not only his return, but in a present day when we're here with him, waiting for him to return. What a joy it is to be a pastor and to be able to help encourage one another. Now, I certainly don't have all the answers. I'm like you. I'm a sojourner through this thing called life and how we can have it more abundantly. We have a lot of people that's on our prayer line. Travis Oaks, our music director, his sister's in the hospital. We need to lift up Travis. We need to lift up so many people that is on our prayer list that you can find in the bulletin or anything. But, you know, you don't need an 800 number, and you don't need this and that to make contact with the living God through Jesus Christ for a prayer request. You simply come to him personally and say, Father, I need to talk to you about some of my challenges here on earth. And he is willing to stop what he's doing and say, yeah, tell me your situation. That's what Jesus is, our perfect intercessor, because he understands his creation now that he came to this earth in the form of a human through the birth canal, making him the perfect intercessor because he understands us. He went through everything that you and I go through up to and including death. But praise be to God, because of the resurrection, we have hope. Aren't you glad? I know I am glad. And the disciples were wondering about this thing called prayer. And, you know, when they would be here on this earth with him and they would minister all day long, and to come to the end of the day, they were all tired on their way to the next place of ministry. They would stop and build a fire and cook supper and fellowship with one another, and Jesus right there in their midst. But afterwards, he went off by himself. And for a long time, it puzzled the disciples. And they asked him one day, Lord, why do you go off by yourself after we eat and fellowship? And he said, well, you know, guys, I told you, and I think some of you know, I'm God manifested in the flesh. And while I'm here on this fleshly body on this earth, I'm like you. I get tired, and I need to have food, and I also need to talk to the Father. Talk to the Father? Us? Yes. How can we do that? He said, well, I'm going to give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into the temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day, and thank you for letting me share with you today. I pray that you was encouraged, because you all certainly encouraged me. God bless. God loves you, and so do I.